This is WHFR Dearborn, and now it's time for our public affairs show, and we call it the new WHFR Journal. Hello and welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal, local news and alternative views for Dearborn and the surrounding area. Well, we have a very special guest in the studio today. It's actually her studio. It's her campus. It's her college, if you will. Henry Ford Community College President, Dr. Gail Mee. Welcome.
Thank you, Jay, very, very much. It's such a pleasure to be here with you. And while they let me think it's my college, actually it's your college and the college of the community, and I'm just very pleased to be a part of it.
Well, and a central part, the most important part is where the buck stops, I guess, at the top. And, of course, things are getting very, very busy on campus. Actually, they've been pretty busy this summer with the construction of our Science Center, and we'll talk about that a little later. But this is the first Friday, folks, that we've been open in a couple of months. In the summer, we try to do the four-day work week, and some people still come by on Fridays, though, trying to enroll or be admitted for the first time. But you can starting today, so there's still time. I think they're probably over there to 4 or 4:30 today on Friday. And in regard to that, Dr. Mee, because we don't always get the word, even though we're right here next to the building, the Learning Resource Center, where admissions is and so on. Are they going to be open tomorrow? Is it going to be like a super Saturday that they've had before?
Yes, that is absolutely right. They are open tomorrow. I wish I could tell you exactly what time, Jay. I don't know. I know certainly that they will have morning hours, right, and probably partly into the afternoon.
I think it's usually somewhere around 9 to 1,
something like that. Yes, so plenty of opportunity. Everyone will be there to help and to advise students and to get them registered in the courses that best fit their needs.
And I think it's important. Hey, this is Dennis.
This is Dennis Reimers, our WHFR News Director, jumping in.
You know, you are so esteemed that he forgot about me.
I didn't. One person at a time, Dennis.
There you go, Jay. I do know that that tomorrow it's very important to tell people that, you know, you don't necessarily have to have an appointment. The whole point of Super Saturday, I think, is for you to be able to come in, and if you get here, obviously in a timely manner, to be able to see who you need to see.
Absolutely right. And everyone will be, it's all hands on deck. Everyone will be here to help students feel comfortable and get ready and talk about the expectations of college and get them ready to take the right courses and programs.
So that would be admissions and then the registrar's office and financial aid,
absolutely.
Okay. Well, now, counseling as well.
Sure. And counseling. Yes. How can we forget them?
Right.
Okay. Now, they do have a little bit of time before the first class starts, which will be next Thursday, August 25th. But a lot of classes are filled, and of course, if they need some sort of, as we used to call them in the olden days, placement tests for English or math or science, they got to get started quick to schedule that. So we're just saying, folks, here on the main campus of Henry Ford Community College, Super Saturday, tomorrow morning, we think approximately 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. If you're not already admitted, bring various documents and proof of residency, and I don't know if they need a high school transcript.
Well,
with
an unofficial transcript is helpful,
okay.
Yes.
All right, great. And then you can get started. But even today until about, I assume, 4 or 4:30, I know on Fridays they're always going to be open from now on until about 4 or 4:30. You could scoot on by, too. Well, President Dr. Gail Mee, you've been with the college now, sort of a newbie since I've been here since 68. But you is this your fifth or sixth year?
I think it's my fifth year.
Okay.
Yes,
it seems like
year.
More.
In
huh?
some ways okay. it seems more, in some ways it seems less.
Because you've been deeply involved with a lot of things. I thought we'd start with sort of the little recap of the past few years. An awful lot has been happening here on campus in terms of programs and facilities and buildings, parking lots, beginning the construction and renovation of our science science building, which I understand now is going to be called the Science Center.
That's what the science folks tell me. Yes.
Science Center.
That's what you heard. Sure.
Yes.
Well, we've had the Fine Arts Center for a few years,
that's
so
right.
I guess they wanted to jump on the train there.
Of course, if someone would give us a very large donation, we would name it anything they'd like.
Oh, that's it. And that's my favorite.
Okay. Yeah. No, but it's got to be pretty big, I know. But.
Well, even Jay was telling me he brought his daughter, gave her a tour of the campus and how impressed she was with a lot of the things that we have going on here. And they're not just environmentally sound ideas. They're also very aesthetically appealing.
Yes, it's a very nice marriage of being in very environmentally responsible, but also looking good, I think. Yes.
Mm-hmm. My daughter graduated in the mid-90s from here, went on to University of Michigan Dearborn in education, and actually probably is one of the last teachers to actually get a full-time job in Michigan, but she is still employed at Southfield Public Schools as a middle school science teacher, thank goodness for her. But certainly it was the strength of the program here that allowed her to do so well at U of M Dearborn, and they do have a well-recognized four-year degree teacher ed program. But good teachers are still needed everywhere, even though there's the downsizing or cutbacks of district and the layoffs. And I think we lose some of the good candidates, some of the good graduates to maybe other states that still have hiring. But she was very impressed with the beauty of the West Campus, which so the landscaping design people, part of the plan for our new parking lots and the fact that it's ecologically sound, as Dennis said, so we're not putting all of our soil into the tributary, the creek that's part of the Rouge River system. But a couple of years when the trees get a little bigger and the grass a little thicker, we can have big picnics out there. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. I don't know if that'll be allowed.
I don't even know if I'm going to wait.
Yeah.
Seriously.
It is quite beautiful out there, actually.
I do.
It's lovely. Yeah.
There is a sort of an open space. Is it possible to put another building there, do you think?
It is possible to put another building there, although we do like the idea that there is some space for students to gather.
Oh, yeah.
We've talked maybe about an amphitheater for productions and for music festivals, whatever.
Yeah.
But right now it's just actually a wonderful space. There's a walking path and a nice place, I think, for students to gather. Nice pond back there.
Right.
We're going to name that for a small fee.
Of course, we'll name anything for a small fee, Jay.
When I was at Oakland University in Rochester, Michigan, as a student many years ago, there was again one of these artificial pools that were created, and I'm not sure if it was for ecology or just for beauty. And of course, all the students called it Big Beer Lake because we always other people kept tossing their beer cans in there, seeing how long they would float. But I think they did get a donor a few years back, and so now it's not called it anymore.
Well, that's been
great. What do you remember from the last 6 years that you're especially proud of? I know the science building, new science center, that takes years to get a project like that going. Mm-hmm. Was that already started when you got here, or did you have to do the initial push?
Well, actually, it was certainly something of a plan, or at least a hope that we would get some money from the state to put together that science building. And so we took that idea and ran with it, developed the plan for the Science Center, and worked very hard with our representatives in Lansing. I have to say, our representatives are extraordinarily supportive of the college, and we were able to get a capital outlay bill through, or be part of the capital outlay bill that pays for half of that construction. So we would not have been able to do it except for that
and
support.
That was a few years back. It was approved, thank goodness, before the so-called economic crisis in Michigan. That may be one of the last capital improvement college buildings the state's going to build for quite a while, the way things are going, unfortunately. And it's just a matching grant, but still we had to get the money together ourselves for that, as well as, of course, the parking lots, which all of them had to be redone, the whole campus, all around, and that was a major financial drain too. But of course, there's curriculum programs that had to come along with the renovation. because there's new possibilities with new facilities of classes, and certainly in the science area, with things changing all the time, we had to move all of our programs into the current situation and be ready for the future. What's the situation, as long as we're talking about the Science Center now, what's the situation for students going into science here? Because it looks like if you're just driving around, the science building's not done.
No. We didn't plan
science center.
The science center would be done. It is, I think, going to be an extraordinary addition to the campus when it's finished. Because if you think about it, the sciences that we teach today, at least some of the sciences that we teach today, had not even been discovered when the original building was built. So now we have the opportunity to enhance the science subjects that we teach, but also add to that things like biotechnology, which we have begun. Mm-hmm. So the science project is a combination of a renovation of the old building and an addition of some new space. It is driven in part, as Dennis said, by environmental responsibility. So we want to not only practice environmental responsibility, we want to teach it as well. So we'll be teaching environmental science. It will have a green roof and a number of other features. We hope to be gold LEED certified, which means that it will have a designation as an environmentally responsible building.
A green roof, that means things are actually going to be growing
things
on it.
Things will be growing
right.
on the
Doesn't
roof.
Doesn't mean green paint.
No, that's okay. correct. Things will be right. growing on mm-hmm. it. And in fact, it can be used by the science faculty and students as an outdoor laboratory.
And it's very good insulation, too,
yes.
because there'll be some soil and mm-hmm. and the plants, shade, where there was growing there. So it's going to be more effective than maybe a bunch of fiberglass pushed in under there, which is mm-hmm. kind of deadly if you had to breathe it.
It would be. Now, we yeah. heard there are some classes that will begin in the science
yes.
at, as early as September 18th.
Yes, let's talk about that. So the plan is that the renovation of the old will be completed by September 18th, and everyone, you know, should really cross your fingers on that, but we believe that's happening. So what we have done is reorganize our science schedule so that the students will have as much time in class, but it will be over a period of 12 weeks rather than 15 weeks.
Similar to what they did, too, because they began this project during
that's
this
That's right.
There's some other 12-week classes. We've always had sort of late-start classes, mm-hmm. but they all have to end by about mid-December. And in this case, the science – so they mean that these 12-week classes, they'll have to spend a little more time per week and more time in the science
more
labs,
concentrated.
Too.
That's correct.
But so looks like it's going to be close, but that September
yes.
18th should be doable. So don't be scared about science programs. It's just a question of getting into the class, of mm-hmm. course. But even if the building looks like it's not quite there. The rest of the Science Center, I went back and looked at an early press release. The new part, the new section, may not be done for months, and the original press release said maybe not until next April.
That's correct. We're expecting that the new will be done in April. We do think that the old will be renovated sufficiently to get our classes up and running and do 12-week classes, again, with the same rigorous academic standards, but just over a slightly mm-hmm. shorter period of
okay.
time.
Okay. Well, that's a good plan, and good luck with that. They can't really blame the weather on the renovation inside. Has there been some setbacks at all? I mean, it's been a tight schedule, I thought, for renovating inside, because they're doing, it seems like, ceilings and wiring, mm-hmm. of course, upgrades and heating, cooling.
Well, you know, Jay, we had to also allow for our classes that were held in the winter semester
summer.
In the spring and the summer semesters.
Yeah.
So we shortened the winter semester, and they ended in April, so we could begin our renovations, and now we're shortening the fall so that they can end that project. So it was a very tight schedule. We knew it was going to be a tight schedule, but we certainly didn't simply want to give up a semester of science.
Oh, can't.
Our students need that. So that was the seemed to be the best way of doing it. And so, yes, it has been an extraordinary push to get it done, but I feel good about it.
I'll just make a little plug here, too. I know in the last few years there's been a major internal renovation. I think it's major. Maybe it's just minor. But the Fine Arts Center itself, a number of the programs, there was a discussion about renovation and who needs the growth more and who needs the facilities more here or there. And so I know art and music and especially telecommunications has been moving around. Telecom, so popular, which I'm glad to see, because we all use telecommunications every day, and more so, including the computers, of course, has now been able to find some open space in the so-called technical building on campus to expand classroom offerings and lab facilities too. And thank you for helping to oversee that. You know, everyone feels here as you know, energetic, enthused faculty that are, each program needs more support of one sort or another, either more space or more teachers or more sections. And right now it's hard to play favorites because the enrollment has just skyrocketed in the last couple of years. That's got to be a huge trend that you've overseen too. Almost everything seems to be filled. I mean, maybe there's a program or two that's a little light here or there, but everybody is coming, it seems, to HFCC, even coming back from some four-year schools if they've only got a year or two there because of the economic situation. We have actually a public service announcement here for HFCC that talks about tuition rates. Hasn't been updated, though. What's our cost compared to, like, Wayne County Community College and Eastern? I mean, we don't like to play favorites and put down the other schools. They have what cost they think they need to have. I mean, the tuition rates that they need to set for a variety of reasons. Are we still one of the lowest? Are we still competitive? Certainly among most four-year schools have much higher tuition than most community colleges.
Much higher, Jay, actually, yes. We still are very low. We are, I believe, we were at least second lowest in the state.
Wow.
And you know, our funding, community college funding, comes from three sources: the state, property tax, and tuition. We have a unique situation at Henry Ford because we have a very small property tax district. And so tuition plays a major role in supporting the work that we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
But we have nevertheless really made an effort to keep it as low as possible because, again, our mission is to respond to the needs of our community and to provide opportunities for higher education for everyone. So we have kept our tuition as low as possible. It was $70. The board did approve an increase to $75 a credit, which is still extraordinarily reasonable when you consider that many of the universities are somewhere in the neighborhood of $400 a credit.
Now, that's so, for in-district
for
or the,
in-district,
the
yeah.
Dearborn residents, basically,
so
in the family.
So let's talk about that, yeah. Our property tax district is actually the school district, and so it is the city of Dearborn and a portion of Dearborn Heights. So it is because those people pay property tax that they get to pay the $75 a credit. People from outside of our tax district who do not pay taxes to support Henry Ford Community College obviously have to pay a bit of a premium to come here, and their cost was $130. It is now $135 a credit.
Mm-hmm. That's, and I want to talk about that increase because there was an increase from last year too. But what do you think, or how's enrollment headed for the fall? Have we passed the 20,000 number again?
Let's talk about that a little bit, actually. You know, our growth has been extraordinary over the past couple of years. In fact, I was looking at some numbers before I came in here. From 2006 to 2010, that is fall to fall of 2010, we grew 45%.
Wow.
So we went from approximately 13,000 to approximately 19,000 students. As you can imagine, that's an extraordinary strain on the organization. And yet it speaks to the quality, I think, of the work that we do here at the college, that everyone does here at the college, and our commitment to really responding to the needs of our community. We have a whole new group of students coming to us that might not have come before. For example, people who might have gone to the university right away out of high school, but instead choose to come here because they realize they get a great education for, you know, only a portion of the cost. Mm-hmm. We also have people who perhaps in another day and age would have gone to work in the automobile industry. But those jobs aren't here, and so they are now looking for other pathways, and that includes community college. And then finally, we have those people who did work in the automobile industry or who were working, and because of the downturn in the economy, are now looking for the knowledge and skills they need for that next generation of jobs.
And it's not just automotive, because you're right.
No, it's definitely not. And so, you know, given the high unemployment rate and given the real downturn in the economy across the country, but felt particularly hard, I think, in Southeast Michigan. It is our obligation to respond to our community and help to serve them well. I think we not only respond, but we try and be proactive and get out there and create new programs that we feel will lead to the next jobs and to the career pathways that people are looking for.
Don't want to end on a negative note before our first break here, which we're going to take in a minute, but the tuition did go up 7%, and I know some people that have this, you know, have listened to this show, know also that the community college in Michigan have been pretty well treated by Governor Snyder's last budget. At least he hasn't cut our funding. Has the state cut our funding at all? I didn't think they were going to.
Actually, Jay, that is unfortunately one of the reasons we did finally decide that we had to raise tuition. Governor Snyder does understand that community colleges are part of the solution, as does our legislature. So originally, the governor's budget did not provide for any cuts at all to community colleges. By the time it made it through the legislature, and again, they recognized the importance of community colleges as well, but there simply wasn't the state funding available. We were cut somewhere between 4% and 5%.
Oh, okay, wow.
And that was a sort of a late happening, and that's one of the reasons we found ourselves in such dire straits. So, so yes, we were cut. We were not cut the way other, perhaps other parts of state government and other entities have been cut, but we did feel that. We did feel the 4% to 5% cut from the state. We also, of course, feel the reduction in property tax, because we have an ongoing millage. We get a certain percentage of the property taxes, and as property taxes have declined, so has our income.
Same problem for the city is the problem for us.
So the
and it's anticipated to go down maybe another, I'm sorry to say, as a Dearborn property owner, another 10% maybe in the next year.
Well, they're a little bit, the city people tell me they're a little bit more optimistic now, and certainly I hope so, but yes, we can expect to continue to decline somewhat. So given the fact that we have these three sources of funding, the state and property tax and tuition, as much as we need to keep our tuition low, the other two continue to decline as our enrollment increases, and we find ourselves in need of increasing tuition as much as we didn't want to.
We're going to listen to some public service announcements here, and just we'll be back with more with Dr. Gail Mee, president of Henry Ford Community College, talking about the present situation here on campus and future, too, of Henry Ford Community College, if we have time for that. I like the fact that Dennis brought up, he said, hey, you know, that tuition increase, it's only $5. Yep. And that's true, because our tuition per credit hour is so low. When you think of $5, that's barely more than a gallon of gas, but it's also one of those fancy drinks at Starbucks. So per credit hour, because even though I say, 7%, well, at a four-year school, 7 or 10% could be hundreds of dollars extra per credit hour. Here, it's just another $5. So, but it's certainly necessitated by, as you pointed out, and I was not aware of that. I don't know where I didn't see that in effect the community colleges have received to cut, and cost and inflation goes up, plus our tuition enrollment is just pushing us to the limits here, so we need some other facilities, and there's cost with developing that, well, even bringing more teachers and more equipment and classroom supplies and things like that, which amazingly we provide a lot more of that than like even my daughter, who teaches in Southfield Public Schools. She has to bring in her own paper for the kids. I mean, that's how bad things are in some of the K-12 systems around here. Well, we'll be back with more with Dr. Gail Mee after these important messages. You know, we don't do commercials here, but we want you to know about some other things that are important, too.
Oh! You are round MVP.
Yeah, man. Yo, Drew, I finally got round MVP. Round MVP.
No way. That was some ownage. It's a good thing you got me as your wingman.
Right. You mean when you threw that flash grenade at me?
Whatever, man. Huge round. Seriously, great stuff.
Finally earning round MVP takes determination. So will getting into college. I've got what it takes.
All right, class. I'm going to pass back your tests. And a high score goes to... Brian.
Oh, yeah. High score, baby.
Visit knowhowtogo.org to learn what you should be doing right now to prepare for college. Start taking the steps at knowhowtogo.org.
I've got what it takes. So do you.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation, and the Ad Council.
For more information in Michigan, visit knowhowtogomichigan.org. That's knowhowtogomichigan.org.
Henry Ford Community College and Oakwood Healthcare are proud sponsors of the 2011 Dearborn Farmers and Artisan Market. The Dearborn Farmers and Artisan Market is open Fridays from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. now through October 28th and is located next to the Bryant Library on Michigan Avenue in West Dearborn. For more information, call 313-673-4207. That's 313-673-4207. Or visit online at www.dearbornfarmersartisansmarket.com.
This is the new WHFR Journal. If I didn't mention the date, we always like to mention the date for those people who are listening to the podcast, the archive of the show, available anytime from WHFR.fm, station making waves, of course. Just click on the journal button and select the date you want to hear. And this show is always available right after 2 o'clock on any Friday. So the current show you can listen to that way. It is Friday, August the 19th, just 6 days before the fall semester starts. So we have Henry Ford Community College President Dr. Gail Mee with us. We were talking about the tuition costs here and how enrollment is going to be. Not that it means anything, but the stock market, they always talk about the 10,000 number as being a big deal, or we just dropped below 10,000. Are we going to be at 20,000, do you think, for this fall? Or
no, actually, we have projected, Jay, that we'll probably remain somewhat stable for a while, we think. We think probably we have pretty much saturated the market, actually, at this time.
Until the Science Center is completed,
yes,
maybe
the
then we'll have a little
Center
bump.
Is completed, yeah. And until we're able to actually support additional growth and additional new programs.
We're not accommodating these new people by necessarily, except where we have the facilities for it, raising class sizes either. We're adding more sections, but there's no degradation of the student experience. Oh, well, they've got some people standing in the back. No, we don't do it that way here. If we can't have the good learning experiences that accomplish the same goals by the same sort of, so it's basically by adding certainly more sections, as they're called, but we're not like overcrowding or making things less desirable for the students, right?
No, that's such a good point. Okay. In fact, our class size has remained the same, and in some cases there's anywhere from 20 to a maximum perhaps of 30 students in a class, never beyond that, and that's quite remarkable because we believe strongly that the students need to get to know each other and to get to know the faculty member, and that's all part of developing a sense of community here at the college, which is incredibly important.
I think it's so important for freshmen and even sophomores who are coming to us too, those small class sizes. If they have questions, they need contact directly with the full-time faculty member, the faculty member in charge of the class. They've got that. It's there.
I know we talked about the tuition a little bit. Mm-hmm. Something that always really impressed me, and I was really proud to tell people, Lindsay and I have a show here, Campus Connection. We always talk about the guarantee, the tuition guarantee.
Yes.
Is that something? I know the price went up. Will the guarantee reflect the new tuition rate?
I'm so glad you brought that up, because that is something very special at Henry Ford Community College. We have something called a tuition guarantee, which means that if you graduate, if you continue to be enrolled and graduate within, I'm hesitating here, I think it's 4 years.
I believe
perhaps,
it's 4 years, you're right.
That, in fact, you can actually come to us, and any tuition increase that occurs between the time you enroll and the time you graduate, you will get back. So that's quite remarkable, actually. Yeah. We want to encourage our students to complete, and that's one way to do it.
That's a little graduation incentive there.
Exactly right. We really want to encourage our students to complete their degrees here at Henry Ford Community College. And I'm pleased to say that we were recognized by Community College Week, a national publication about community colleges, as one of the top 100 community colleges in the country in terms of graduates.
And in fact, in some of our programs, we're in the top 20 in some of the different things. I know our nursing program, I believe, was, I want to say 16th or 14th,
yes.
But incredible. This is nationwide.
Yes.
And we were number one in regard to Michigan schools in many of these categories. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
You know, no, that's terribly important, Dennis, because it's not just about getting students in the door, even though it is our responsibility to promote higher education for all members of our community. The truth is, we don't want it to be a revolving door. Mm-hmm. So we need to place as much, if not more, emphasis on student success and student retention. And so those things that we can do to help students be successful through small classes, because they get to know each other, and all of the research says when they get to know each other and get to know a faculty or staff member, they'll stay in college, or because of this tuition guarantee, which gives them a little motivation to finish. All of those things that we can put in place to support students and to challenge students will help in their success.
As long as we're talking about the money issue, since we mentioned that the state funding did not stay stable, and I didn't know about that, and maybe other people in the community don't realize that we were hurt by that, and that's another reason. In fact, I didn't see that as a reason even in the story about the tuition increase. What about that? About a year or two ago, we heard that the federal government, that President Obama, they somehow passed a $10 billion aid to community colleges, although that was going to be over 10 years. So to me, with all the community colleges in the U.S., $1 billion a year is going to be cut pretty thin. That wouldn't mean much. But then I heard that in the last legislative session, that's been X'd or reduced or postponed or something. So there really won't be any federal assistance to speak of. Is that the truth, or am I overstating it?
Well, the truth is that you're right about that. President Obama came to Michigan, in fact, I don't know, a year ago or perhaps a little bit more, announced that he would like to provide $10 to $12 billion, I think, for community colleges over the course of several years. That did not make it through the legislature.
Oh,
you're absolutely
right.
First
time, uh-huh.
However, they did come back around and announce a $4 billion grant. No, a $2 billion grant over 4 years to community colleges through the Department of Labor, and so it is. It's a grant proposal that we have submitted, actually two grant proposals for this money, and we have yet to hear. It is designed for community colleges around the country. It is a four-year program, so if we don't get it this year, we can, of course, go back around next year. But we have applied for two grants that we think will support programs that we would want to do anyway, and that would be terribly important for our particular community. One of those, we are the fiduciary. That is, we are the lead community college for 16 community colleges from all around the country. And that is designed to prepare our students, and in fact current workers, for the next autumn, the skills that they will need in automobile manufacturing and other related manufacturing. It's very different. It is now technologically driven, and so this is a program that will create the curriculum and teach students how to work in a new manufacturing environment. And that we have partnered with, again, community colleges as well as employers from around the country. Every community college brought a partner to the table. Our partner is Ford Motor Company. So that's one grant proposal that we have submitted. We'll see what happens with that. And then the second is to support the entrepreneurial center that we expected, that we want to do anyway, but this would certainly allow us to do it in perhaps a bigger way and in a better way. And that will allow us to not only offer an entrepreneurial curriculum, but also to provide activities and workshops and mentoring and other things, not only for our students, but also for our community, who might be interested in entrepreneurial activities.
I think that's so important. I've said before, entrepreneurial means just very simply just starting a business yourself, starting it with a great idea and a great team of people that have special skills. Because these days, if there aren't jobs in the old traditional businesses out there, if they haven't updated, if they're not expanding, a very valid choice, if you knew how to do it right, would be start your own business. You know, you've got the wherewithal, the enthusiasm, the ideas, and you've got, some people, or you can acquire people that can take us in a better direction, a new direction. But we just, maybe we have one course in our old curriculum about how to start a small business or how to be a small business person, but to have a program that would help you through and help you get set up.
Especially the mentoring. The hands-on is so, you know, practical application is so important in that in that area.
I agree. I'm very excited about this, and we will do it anyway, but we probably won't be able to scale it up the way we would if we received this grant.
Right.
But we really want to do it because we think, again, it's a need of our students in the community. If you think about our students who maybe are in culinary arts, for example, and while they graduate and they know everything there is to know about baking, they may not actually know how to start their own business
or how to start their own bakery.
Right. Exactly. And so it will be a part of any curriculum or it will be an add-on for students who are interested in what we say is don't get a job, make a job.
I like that.
It was a story in the Dearborn Papers, and we can't cover any of these stories this week because of our special guest, Dr. Gail Mee, president of the college here. We'll get back to it next week. We'll catch up. But one person, they were talking, it was a story about how expensive rent is for a small business along West Michigan Avenue in West Dearborn, what's called West Dearborn, and that a lot of small businesses would love to have a storefront, but the owners there have this unrealistic idea, and so a lot of small businesses can't even start up there, they have to go somewhere else. Well, this woman, she has an online bakery already.
Really?
That she has a website, and so, you know, the entrepreneurial program would talk about how can you have a business without a storefront, without a location,
right?
And it's certainly possible for her, but she knows the next step is to also have a location where people could come and actually pick up their baked goods themselves. But apparently she's found a way to do that clever enough. I hadn't thought of that. Online bakeries, wow, what an idea. Now, of course, you could send some things to people, I mean, through the mail, and there's ways to keep it fresh. I know Zingerman's does in Ann Arbor. They have a big mail order department. But even locally, I think she specializes in cheesecakes or whatever. But and I know from visiting places like Austin, Texas, I go there for a lot of radio and media conferences a couple times a year. They have a thriving business in bakeries that will deliver your donuts or whatever to your business every day, and they don't have a storefront. They're just online, too. So these are part of some of the ideas that this kind of program could give our graduates. And again, if there's just no jobs out there, you say, start your own business if you've got the smarts and the wherewithal and maybe some help from the colleges.
Some help with business plans and some mentoring. You know, we have an extraordinary entrepreneurial community. Many entrepreneurs in our community, and many of them very supportive of the college, and have already said they'd love to come in and help with a workshop or just talk about their experiences to help students advance.
I you know, and of course you bring up baking when I'm hungry. Thanks, you guys. You know, we talked because of all the people coming to the school. We've done some maneuvering. We really have. A year ago, we were talking about how the nursing department moved to the near the SME over in the East End. But we have a building right here on campus. I can call it on campus now because we own the building, the old SME building. Mm-hmm. What are our plans there? What are some of the things we want to do?
You know, I just want to say it doesn't sound like we've been devoting all of our energies to facilities, and in some ways, we have had to because of the growth.
Absolutely.
In the case of the what was the SME headquarters, yes, we did acquire that building a while ago. SME, the Society of Manufacturing Engineers, continues to rent back from us, to lease back from us, a little bit more than half of the space in that building, which is wonderful because it actually pays the rent for us, or pays the mortgage, if you will, for us. But we have taken over one part of that building, and we expect by the spring to open our new enrollment services center. The building is just across the parking lot, so it might make it a little difficult for students to go, let's say, from an English class to a math class if we held it over there. But enrollment services isn't something that you visit every day. And so it just made sense that we would move enrollment services into that building. So it's going to be brightened, it's going to be refreshed, and I think more significantly our business practices are going to change. So not only are we moving, but I think our enrollment services staff are very excited about transforming the way in which they interact with students. And the center will be much more student-focused, I think, and also much more technologically driven. So we're pretty excited about it, actually. We think it's going to really be the first time a student enters the college, an opportunity to learn about the technology that they will be using. And and to learn from the people around them what our expectations might be.
I'm sure when we designed the Learning Resource Center, we had no idea that we'd have this 45% increase in students.
Yeah. There's no way you could foresee
it. And for the last couple of years, there have been people like not even have chairs in the basement or the lower level of the LRC, which is right near the financial aid office especially, waiting for calls. And now, I don't know if it was in their place last year, but now we have people wandering around campus. They can do other things because they have a number that they're going to be called, a certain number, but they got to check back every so often. We're not paging them or anything across campus. Number 47, you know, we can't do that like a restaurant might page people waiting in the cafeteria or something, but at least they're not, they don't have to physically wait down there. And it's coming soon. You said spring, and that is that actually a winter semester, or is that actually our spring semester next year?
We are hoping.
April again?
Yeah, because enrollment, you know, happens almost all year. We have just small windows of opportunity when our enrollment services people are not as busy as usual and we can move them.
Right, yeah.
So it is our hope that the renovations will be completed and that they will be moving in around February or March for enrollment for spring, summer, and, of course, then next fall.
And what can we use that'll create open space now?
Yes.
And what do you plan? Will that expand the LRC? Or?
That's going to expand what we're calling a student center. Success Center. We had a committee actually that came together to look at what kinds of needs do we have here, and we really believe that a Student Success Center ought to be in the center of campus, which is where that is, and it will include a comprehensive tutoring center, which we really need and which we're going to begin this year, but we'll have more space once that building is vacated. It will include counseling. It will probably include job placement and all of those other support services that help students to be successful and to retain students in college.
It's a great idea, and it's a good space, and it's right next to the library.
Yeah, it is a good space for this, I think, yes.
Of these four different areas, I can think of counseling, registrar, admissions, and financial aid. Are all of those going to SME? It sounds like Success Center, that would include some counselors, some specialized counselors anyway.
Right.
Yes, I think that when we open at SME, and we have to come up with a new name for that now, we'll call it the Welcome Center to start.
Okay. All right.
At any rate, it is our intent to have what we're calling advisors right now over there to help students register. But there is still much need for personal and career counseling, but they will be probably in the Student Success Center, right in the center of campus, where they're really needed. So it'll be a crossover.
So maybe job placement. Maybe Chad Austin's office will be in the new office.
In the Student Success Center,
awesome.
What is now the Learning Resource Center, right in the center of campus. So all those support pieces like counseling, like personal and career counseling, like job placement, like assisted learning services, you know, all those things. We want them centrally located so that they're easy for students to access.
Mm-hmm.
Tutoring will be part of that, of course.
Okay.
And then the other will really be devoted to enrollment services, and so we will have what we're calling advising going on over there, not in-depth counseling.
Good. Really good.
What are some of the new curriculum programs that will be starting up soon, if you can just mention one or two? I mean,
absolutely.
There's some specialized areas. You mentioned biotechnology, but we've actually been – that was official like a year or two ago that people were getting started in that. But
yes, that's correct. And actually, we had our first – I think we had our first interns working in industry in biotechnology.
I'm looking for the first bionic woman, I think.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
He's sort of serious, yeah.
I'm glad to note on TV Lindsay Wagner is still working. So it must have been good for her anyway.
Yeah.
Just a joke there, folks. Sorry.
She's not an HFCC grad that we know of.
No.
Not that we know of, although certainly we have extraordinary men and women who have graduated from Henry Ford Community College. And when I'm out in the community, people say, well, I went to Henry Ford Community College. It's really so wonderful.
And they say it with pride.
They do.
Every
they
time.
Say it with pride. And they're such success stories for us. It's really wonderful.
What other programs that are new, curriculum areas that you can reflect on here?
We have biotechnology. Of course, we're getting much bigger into alternative energy than we ever did before, and so that would be part of our architecture program, also part of our, you know, heating, cooling, construction, all kinds of things that might include alternative energy, including our auto program, et cetera.
Dennis is mentioning, and no negative here, but we seem to have a new windmill on campus, a new wind power tower, and it's been windy a couple days in the last couple weeks. The blades aren't moving. Do you know anything about that?
Okay. I know nothing.
We're really doing investigative reporting here on the show.
We certainly are. Okay. And you've caught me because I have no idea.
Okay.
But, well, it's a new tower, and so yes, maybe they're fine-tuning it, but maybe they also will use their classes to talk about that whole process and a lot of people may not know that that such equipment, even solar panels, they need maintenance. They need people to work with obviously the solar the wind towers and to keep them going. That they're not maintenance free, although very minor maintenance, very cost effective in the long term. There's a beautiful new wind tower. I saw the blades going. Yes. Along, say, a couple months back, and they haven't been turning for a while. I was very concerned about that.
We had enough energy. No,
I actually think, I don't know a whole lot about that, I do know that it's very much integrated into the curriculum. So my guess is when the semester starts, you'll see those blades going again.
The city, and we've just been invited to the big press conference, oh boy, they're putting in some charging stations. And I thought they were going to be in the parking area near City Hall for, like, City Hall workers. But, in fact, this is going to be installed on the 22nd of September, or the first day of the press conference, in some of the parking, one of the parking structures in West Dearborn. Mm-hmm. And Adopt-A-Watt program is somehow part of this. Apparently, local donations from mm-hmm. business people mm-hmm. and so on are actually, maybe they have their name on the charging station, like we sell names to buildings or to seats in the Fine Arts Building auditorium. What about the plans for charging stations here for electric cars?
Well, when we did the parking lots, we certainly planned for that. So the we do have the capability of doing charging stations, and we continue to watch for what the demand is to see when it is we'll get that started.
If students have bought a Nissan Leaf, or they're planning uh-huh. later this year or early next year, I'm not sure when the darn that Ford Focus keeps being delayed. I think they're trying to start selling it in California. The press release package we received looks like, I mean, they actually included a picture of electric Ford Focus, so they might actually have one there physically somehow, special loan, but I don't think they're selling them. So when the college gets requests from students mm-hmm. saying, I'm mm-hmm. thinking of buying, or I've got an electric mm-hmm. powered car, do you have a charging station, then we'll get our engineers
Absolutely.
Together to see what the feasibility
right.
is.
We did build in the capacity for that when we did the parking lots.
I thought you said that last
yes.
year, but I just
yes.
wanted to
It'd
get an update.
It's silly to bring it out now if there isn't demand, though.
Right, there isn't demand right now. And then, because as you know, our parking is always a challenge. Even though we have new parking lots, we have new students as well. And so unless the demand is there, we certainly don't want to take these parking spots and not let other people use them.
And which leads me to a question regarding the shuttle that has uh-huh. been so wonderful and successful yep. for the last, year and a half.
Uh-huh.
Will that continue?
Yes.
And until what point?
Well, it's been so successful. That's absolutely
Incredibly
true. It's
successful.
Been so successful that we think we will continue it indefinitely until, if enrollment were to decline or something, we might do away with it. But right now, our enrollment is strong enough that we will continue it.
This is the shuttle from Fairlane Town Center Food Court.
Food Court.
That's correct.
And it's many hours a day, and there's no charge to our students.
It's like 7 to 7 or 8 to 7, I believe.
We began it when we began the parking lot project, and we didn't have as many spaces as we had before. And so we were trying to entice students to ride on the shuttle. We were giving them muffins in the morning or something,
and
cookies in the afternoon. But now you don't have to because they actually have discovered it and really like using it. So we will continue that as long as our enrollment is high.
A lot of people would be very happy to hear that.
Yeah. We have a lot of people that ride the buses to get to this area. And, of course, many of the bus lines actually have a stop at Fairlane Town Center, more, I think, than what actually stop on Evergreen, but we do have a bus stop on Evergreen right in front of the campus, too.
Right.
And many times I've always felt badly when I see what appears to be our students trying to cross the roads from Fairlane Town Center. There is no easy walkway or official light to get across the busy Evergreen Road. And so the shuttle takes care of that issue and also keeps them from getting wet or snowed on or whatever the weather situation is.
And I had one question. I know that we it's official now. There will be a smoking ban on our campus. It begins January 1st, 2012. My understanding is there will be at least a couple designated areas on campus, as well as in people's personal vehicles?
Yes. Okay. I can't respond to the personal vehicle thing. I believe that's correct. Okay. Yes, Dennis. I do know that when we began to discuss this a year or so ago, we felt that it was important for us to make a statement that we were a smoke-free campus because we really want to promote healthy living as well. So much discussion, of course, and yes, we will go smoke-free. There are opportunities for lots of support that we will give to students as well as faculty and staff, opportunities to speak with people or to get other support to, in smoking cessation efforts, actually.
And to your credit, you got feedback from smokers. You had I'll call it a town hall or whatever, and you said, hey, come on out, smokers, non-smokers, how do you feel?
Right.
And I would think that went into the process.
It absolutely did. It was actually quite quite an exciting time here
was
on
it really?
Campus because people had very strong opinions.
Oh, I'll bet.
But we will have a designated area. I don't think it's been decided yet. Okay. A designated area for smokers away from others so that secondhand smoke isn't a problem.
Good. This is excellent news.
I think so. Yeah. I think so, yes. And you know, we also, I do want to speak for a minute about nursing because we also acquired what was the Ford UAW Family Center on Schaefer Road,
right,
next to our MTech, next to our Technical Education Center. And so our School of Nursing has moved over there. We were fortunate to really get a wonderful building, and the nursing students are extraordinarily excited to have this really up-to-date nursing center. So
they don't any longer have the seats for the elementary school kids?
No, we did remove those. Okay. That's right.
When they moved in, they were getting it, so it's really well set up now.
It was a child care center, everything was about 1 foot high off the ground, which was a little bit of a problem.
That was funny.
Jay and I are tall.
But that's all been done over, and I have to say it's really state of the art. We have simulation models, these models that can simulate almost anything wrong with them, and the nurses can practice on them. It's really quite wonderful, and if people in the community have not seen it, I would encourage you to stop in and take a look at that center. It's really remarkable.
And folks, if you're thinking of exploring specifically the nursing program within our allied health area here, we just want to mention that, that's off campus. That'll be inconvenient. Well, but really it's for the people who, since there is usually a waiting list to get in these specialized classes that you need. So you take your liberal arts, your basic science and math on campus. You don't really need to go over there much, if at all, for the first year. And so when they make the switch, they're almost going full time at that other campus. So that's not as strange as it may seem. I mean, there was thought put in here, folks, is that when you get into the Allied Health nursing program, you're pretty much in that last year or so exclusively in those classes. And yeah, they're not on campus, maybe couple of them might still be, but most of them are over at the new
center.
Right, and
they're doing their clinicals from there, so they'll actually be out in the hospitals at that point, too. So.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Yeah. It is what I would call a self-contained program, in a way. Students don't have to come back and forth. They don't have to come over here and take English. They've already done it, as you say, Jay. So, and it is an extraordinary, facility for them. The nursing faculty are very happy. The students are happy. And there is legislation pending. It has passed the House that could conceivably allow us to offer a four-year degree in nursing.
Oh, that's right. I saw that.
And,
that's exciting.
It has passed the House, and so should that happen, we will have the facility to support it.
Because that will be the new standard. If I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm. they're trying to get it to the point within the next few years. I don't know the time frame on it, but I understand at some point RN will be a four-year degree only.
Certainly the hospitals would like that. Yeah. Certainly the hospitals want that. As it is now, our students do a lot more than 2 years, actually, by the time they complete their nursing program with us. And they are RNs when they graduate.
And they're getting jobs.
but would like to continue on for a bachelor's degree. And while there are some transfer opportunities for them, we feel strongly that we feel that we could actually offer that and do it well.
The new WHFR Journal for Friday, August 19th, 6 days away from the fall semester here. We only have about 7 or 8 minutes, or actually 6 minutes, how that clock keeps moving in the show today. And we're just continuing, and we will conclude with our interview with Dr. Gail Mee, the president of the college here. I wanted to mention something we always mention anyway, and that is our little disclaimer, and that is all the opinions expressed on this show is not necessarily those of anyone here at Henry Ford Community College faculty, staff, or administrator, but when she's here, it is the, at least her opinion is,
right.
And Dennis and I, it's we fine. May seem like, oh, well, they're just paid cronies of the public relations team here. No, Dennis and I, and thank you, Dr. Mee, and so on, we are free to say whatever we want to. We try to be fair and reasonable, and of course, opinions and ideas are always welcome from our listeners. You can send them to whfr@hfcc.edu, and we'll be glad to incorporate them. But often we do try, and I know Dr. Mee knows this, to express, as I say at the beginning, alternative views, that is, ideas not necessarily weird, wacky ideas, although sometimes they are, but they're ideas that you don't see in the other papers or that don't come up elsewhere, to give some perspective along with all the other ideas to what's happening in this area. But I just want to say that Dennis and I, we're free to, I mean, he's plugging the college, so am I. I've had a very successful and continuing 43 years now at the college in one capacity or the other, and I just love this experience and love the career and love the challenge of the being a curriculum leader in the telecom area, and I love teaching. It's just a great facility, in my opinion. And Dennis has suffered. I mean, he has continued in programs here as a student.
I have.
Still has a few more to continue with, and he is going to be again the editor of the Mirror newspaper on campus. And some changes are always coming up there, which we can talk about in the future. But we have Dr. Mee here. So in the last continuing minutes, what about the challenge for the future? I noticed that George Durrani and other politicians were being given an updated tour last week of the campus. So one of your great challenges is always with funding and keeping people in Lansing and elsewhere up to date on what we're doing and what we need, what our needs are. Do you see that it's continuing, even with our success of attracting students? Mm-hmm.
Obviously. Before I get to that, Jay, I do want to just remark about your comments about different opinions. We are an institution of higher education, and as such, we love differing opinions. Mm-hmm. It is what we do, and it's important for students to hear those different opinions. So absolutely, the dialogue is what enriches the environment here. And so while I might say, gee, I think, you know, we should be doing a four-year degree, others might differ in that, you know, that's all part of the dialogue that we continue to foster here at the college. But let's get back to the challenges of the future. We do see our enrollment leveling off, I think, for the future, at least for a while. Should the economy get better, and let's hope it will, we would hope that more people would be going back to work and hence perhaps only coming to school part-time or finding jobs and putting school off for a little while. Certainly, we're not going to argue with that. It would be wonderful if people were going back to work. So our enrollment will perhaps stabilize a bit. Our state funding is always an issue, as are our property taxes. We will continue to look for other sources of funding. You heard me talking about grants and contributions from other people and other, you know, business and industry, etc. I think the other challenge is to be sure we know that we really can't do things alone, that we have to collaborate, that we need to collaborate with K-12 and with other colleges and universities to ensure that our students are well educated and that we can provide them with a seamless educational experience from kindergarten through graduate programs. And so we play a key role in all of that because we're right in the middle. And it is our job to be sure that we can collaborate with K-12 so that we align high school graduation with expectations for college and those students can be successful and then we can move them on to be equally successful as they transfer or go to work. So if I have to say our challenges are always going to be in providing opportunities for our community and strengthening our support for students.
If I can sneak in one more question, we only have a couple minutes, but as is typical, our blues DJ for Highway 61, which should start shortly here on WHFR Dearborn, has some trouble. She has a walking issue. She has a handicap sticker, but the parking situation now that we're open today may be different than her. So we're just going to sort of linger on. Our podcast goes for actually another 2 minutes, so we can just use up every minute of that. As we're waiting
as
for her
do.
To arrive.
Okay, we will.
But we will get the blues show started and as we wait for Joanne to get here. Yeah, two crisis areas is the high school students with their graduations. Some of them are just not really very well prepared for at least college level reading and writing. I had such a student in a staff training class this summer, and one of our little exercises to see how they read out loud from a script, as everybody has to do here at the station. He couldn't read from the script. I mean, he had graduated from a Detroit high school. He had not taken the placement test yet for English and reading and writing here. And I told him, get on that, because that's a survival skill these days, to be able to read and write better than he was, certainly. I know he could not succeed in other things here at the college at the so-called entry level. So anyway, we can give help. I know we have extensive help for these people all the way back to, I understand from being part of the English department years ago, maybe at the fourth grade reading and writing level, but it takes a while for them to work their way through that and carefully choose the classes that may not be quite so dependent on reading and writing here. So it's a real challenge for them. I'm glad you mentioned that we're doing what we can, and that's a whole issue we can't go into now. But what about online classes? That's ever expanding too.
Yes.
Because we're not just a commuter school, we're also online, and I know
online.
We've had aggressive programs to develop and make that extremely worthwhile. I have to say, as an opinion, I'm very suspicious of some of the K-12 schools that have decided that for financial reasons, even our legislators say, well, let's just have senior year online. I'm very suspicious of that. I think the students need a lot of help, especially with reading and writing, which I'm not so sure online is the only answer for some of these areas. But appropriately, we've expanded not for everything, but for a lot of things where we can guarantee quality. And so what's the status of online, though, instruction here at the college to finish up with?
You're absolutely right. It has grown significantly. And I think, if I'm not mistaken,